God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. Brother Hutchings has written an intriguing prophetic observer for November entitled, UFOs, To Be or Not to Be? That is not the question. And he and I will be talking about that prophetic observer on today's program. You know, there's recently been some renewed interest in the subject of UFOs, unidentified flying objects, and so that's what we'll be talking about today. And Brother Hutchings, I have a question as we get started. Are we really under observation by someone from outer space?
The real question is, can we handle the truth about it? And that's what we're going to be discussing here. Literally millions of people from every nation have in the last 70 years reported seeing strange objects or lights in the sky that cannot be identified as a plane, a balloon, or birds. These observers include presidents, governors, airline pilots, astronauts, police officers, pastors, military enlisted men, and airport officers. Yet, even today, when someone mentions the possibility they saw a UFO, they're apt to be thought to be having a little too much wine, or maybe they need to be in a psychiatric ward. However, both the History Channel and Nova Channel have presented several documentaries about the nature of UFOs and their mission. The overall and most pertinent question about UFOs: are we alone in the universe? Is there a power or another kingdom keeping the Earth under observation? Are they terrestrial or extraterrestrial? Evidence indicates that they could be either, but most in NASA and the military who have voiced an opinion believe that they're not of this Earth.
Well, Brother Hutchings, I remember on some previous programs that you have reported yourself actually seeing some unidentified flying objects. And there may be some listeners that have not heard that story. We're on a couple of news stations now, and maybe some folks out there that have not heard that. So would you mind relating that story to us again?
In 1937, when I was 15 years old, returning home from school just after sunset, we lived about 5 miles southeast of Hugo, Oklahoma, a pinkish pulsating ball of light came up from the horizon to the east and stopped directly north of me at about 45 degrees angle to the ground up in the sky. About 5 seconds later, another came from the same direction and stopped beside the first one. And then in another 5 seconds, another one followed and lined up with the other two. And in 1937, there were not even any helicopters, and there could not have been any such aircraft that would have operated like that then or now. There is no object manned by a human being that could travel at 500 miles an hour and suddenly stop without slowing down. But that's exactly what these three objects that I saw did. It is also apparent that these objects were operated or guided by intelligence, or else they can have not lined up with each other in the sky and remained motionless, hanging up there in the sky for an hour that I watched them. After it became dark, I went on another block to my home, ate supper, and then I went out to see if the objects were still in the sky, but they were gone. What these balls of pulsating light were, what their mission was, or if there was a possible reason why they appeared to me at that particular time, I have no idea. Sure, this was a long time ago, and I was only 15 years old, but Brother Jerry, there are some things in life that we never forget, and that experience is one of those things for me. In World War II, I operated the most advanced radar system there was at that time. It was a new unit, My first 2 years in the Army, I operated this radar unit for a 16-gun, 90-millimeter anti-aircraft gun battalion in the South Pacific. I was very good at what I did. I was on 4 hours and 8 hours off. Once I received a commendation from the South Pacific Air Command. I could even lock on a pelican that had swallowed a chewing gum wrapper from the garbage that was thrown over from one of our ships. On my radar unit, I always remembered the UFO I saw in 1937, and I was always looking for a UFO in the sky, something I could not identify. But I never did see anything on the scan scope that I could not identify. After the war, I was always interested in UFO reports like the Lubbock Light, the Phoenix Light, the UFO crash in New Mexico as reported. There was a newspaper story about how Winston Churchill would not allow pictures of UFOs in the press following their observation or flying by British or U.S. airplanes on bombing raids. Now, this past month, there was a documented news story about a UFO over an airport in China. 17 flights for that airport were directed to other airports. Having been in China many times, I know that there is nothing that a manager would do like that of an airport in China unless there was a real problem with that airport. So I was really amazed that 17 flights were directed because of a UFO over the airport. So, Brother Jerry, there's all kind of reports, thousands of reports, seemingly credible report of seeing these UFOs at various sites, states, and places over the past 70 years.
Well, you know, knowing you as I do, Brother Hutchings, I would say you are of sound mind, and having listened to that story, then, you know, it makes one wonder. And, of course, as you said, you really don't know what those things were, so they truly are unidentified flying objects, and that's what UFOs really means. And you were talking about other credible reports. What are some of those?
You know, airline pilots have reported them, and, you know, I remember JAL airliner, they fired the airline pilot because he wouldn't retract his story about a UFO flying alongside his plane. And there have been many reported UFO sightings, and U.S. Army and Navy personnel have reported them, as well as Air Force officers. And they can't report these UFO sightings or activities because they've been ordered not to. However, there are several recorded communications by both U.S. and Russian astronauts concerning sightings of UFOs, and I've read those reports, and they're on the Internet. They're quite credible. Now, finally, this past month, 5 retired Air Force officers came forward to report their own experiences while on active duty, and this was at the prestigious National Press Club on September the 25th, 2010. One of the Air Force officers testifying was former Air Force Captain Robert Silas. His testimony covered a UFO intervention at a Minuteman missile site up in Montana on March the 16th, 1967. Now, Brother Jerry, it is to be remembered that this was a time when the United States was concerned about a possible nuclear war with the Soviet Union. And 10 of the nuclear warhead missiles were in their silos at this base where Captain Silas was in charge. They were ready to fly at a moment's notice. And Captain Silas testified at the National Press Club before many witnesses, and his testimony is reported by the AOL News and other sources. And I think you have a copy of that, don't you?
I do, and that was on September 25th, 2010, as you already mentioned. Let me quote from what the captain said. "I got a call from the topside guard telling me They were watching some strange lights flying around in the sky, making odd maneuvers. They didn't think they were airplanes because they were going very fast, turning on a dime, and not making a bit of noise. A few minutes later, he called back screaming into the phone, scared to death, and he said, "Sir, I'm looking out my front window, and there is a glowing, red, oval-shaped object hovering right above the front gate, and I've got all the guards out here with their weapons drawn." Close quotes.
Again, we remember that relations between the U.S. and Russia were extremely tenuous at that time. So there's some reason why the UFOs would have disarmed the missiles. Now, the guards reported the UFOs, and he gives his testimony, were 30 to 40 feet in diameter with red pulsating light darting and turning on a dime. Now, the description of movement and action corresponds exactly with what I saw in 1937, which I describe in my book, As It Is in the Days of Noah, that was written in 1997. Now, I mention this so that others won't think that I'm reinventing my experience to match with what these five officers said. Now, Captain Silas stated, as reported by AOL and other sources, that a UFO completely disarmed all 10 Minuteman missiles that were 60 feet underground, covered with dirt, concrete, and steel. When asked why he and others in the military service had not come forward with this information before, he stated that they were warned not to tell anyone, including fellow service personnel or even their wives. He explained, and I quote, "If I went public with this while still in service, I would have been in Leavenworth, a maximum security federal prison, breaking stones into little pebbles." But, you know, there are others reported here, these five retired officers who had nothing to gain in this at all. No reason why they should, except they just want the truth to come out. But you have another report there, I believe.
Yes, sir. This one and I'm quoting it. It says, in 1980, retired Colonel Charles Haught witnessed UFOs disabling nuclear missiles outside London. The men who spoke at the presser used declassified data to support some of their firsthand accounts of visits from outsiders who, according to them, seemed fixated on our nuclear weapons. It was not an easy decision for some of them, who kept quiet for years due to a fear of committing career suicide in the military. Charles Haught is one of a number of senior former members of the U.S. Air Force who went public today over claims that UFOs had tampered with nuclear missiles in the U.S. and the U.K. Haught retired in 1991 as an Air Force colonel who served in Vietnam, Japan, and Great Britain. Haught says he witnessed an incident in 1980 when he was base commander of U.S. forces stationed at a British RAF station called Bentwaters, about 80 miles outside London. His account of the episode makes the claim that UFOs beamed light sources into a nuclear storage area. Just as suddenly as they appeared, they vanished. The light sources coincided with measurable levels of radiation, according to Haught, and that the weapons were momentarily disabled. And that's a quote from that other report.
Now, the evidence presented at the news conference by these retired U.S. military officers should verify once and for all, as they have agreed, the Earth is under surveillance by alien forces. The operations of UFOs defy known physical science, and their operations indicate that they cannot be operated by flesh and blood beings. Now, UFOs are consistently reported to be noiseless and without any visible outside wings, fins, or rudders. The fact that retired Air Force officers indicate the UFOs left a radiation residue would, however, indicate a possible internal nuclear power source. Now, Nikola Tesla the electronic genius who is credited with giving birth to the electronic nuclear age, evidently did some theorizing and drafting concerning a nuclear anti-gravity machine. These plans and experiments by Tesla can be verified on the internet. All you got to do is Google Nikola Tesla and UFOs. Tesla died in 1943, and it is not known how far he advanced in producing such a machine, or if some government like the United States or Russia did further work on his design. Now, Captain Silas, who has experienced a close encounter with UFO, testified, and I quote, "I believe in extraterrestrial hypothesis, and I think in this instance these objects were not constructed on planet Earth," end quote. It is also reason that UFO reports antedate Tesla by several hundred years, because there have been reports of people seeing them in the past. According to the testimony by Dr. Carol Rosen, who claimed she was a spokesperson for the late Dr. Wernher von Braun, the German missile scientist who developed German missile systems in World War II and helped the U.S. in its NASA program, Dr. von Braun believed that to try to defend ourselves against UFOs would be useless, as they offered no aggressive intent. So evidently, Dr. Wernher von Braun also believed that unidentified objects were visiting the Earth.
And he's certainly a very credible person.
Certainly is. The question is, does the evidence of UFO existence and activity contradict biblical truth or affect our Christian faith? Well, the Bible is replete with scriptures relating to angelic activity. We read that one-third of the angelic host followed Satan in rebellion. We also read that before the flood, some angels left their first estate and lived with women. Angels' sphere of activity and mission is heavenly, and Jesus said that flesh and blood cannot inherit or live in the heavens. Angels, therefore, are spirit beings and not flesh and blood. Now, we also read in Revelation 12:7 that during the coming great tribulation, the archangel Michael will lead his angels in war against the devil and his angels. Jesus said that if he asked the Lord or asked his Father, that he would be sent 72,000 angels to assist him. So evidently there are lots of angels. There are now some 20,000 nuclear bombs and missiles and other nuclear devices in the arsenals of some dozen or more nations, enough to destroy the human race many times over. We read in Revelation 11:18 that in the Great Tribulation, Jesus will destroy those who are trying to destroy the earth. Jesus said, within the context of the Olivet Discourse relating to his second coming, "And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights shall there be from heaven." Now, we must consider these UFOs may be in the category of fearful sights that Jesus referenced for the last days. Now, the seeming interest of UFOs, according to the testimony of the retired Army officers, is nuclear missiles, and that certainly is interesting. Yet, I know of no way it can be proven without qualifications that UFOs or angels are related to angelic activity. However, if they are not, then we have to conclude that the human race is just a one of many developing entities in the universe, and we might be possible inferior to most of the others. But to me, that would be unthinkable, but that there are other civilizations or beings out there evolving. But with some way, we have to explain the UFOs biblically. It appears these entities that I saw and reported seen by hundreds or thousands of others, are under God's control. And we hope that this might be comforting and not outside the realm of biblical truth and revelation. In fact, they could verify the big biblical concept of spiritual forces referenced as angels in the Bible. Now, whether they are God angels or demons of Satan or fallen angels, that's another matter. However, there is nothing in these sightings or reports that should or can be in conflict with our faith in our Almighty God and His promise of eternal life to those who believe that Jesus died for our sins, and because He lives, we shall live also with Him in heaven. We would like to leave you with this one scripture that we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and they that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, Brother Hutchings, a listener called asking that we share a prayer lost people can pray to receive Christ. And based on that scripture you've just read, I think it's appropriate to do that right here. So, friend, if you feel a need to ask forgiveness for sin, repeat this prayer. Dear God, I know that Jesus is your Son and that He died on the cross and was raised from the dead. I know I have sinned and need forgiveness. I am willing to turn from my sins and receive Jesus as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you sincerely prayed that prayer, please let us know. Call 1-800-652-1144 during regular business hours. That would be from 7:30 in the morning until 6 in the evening, Central Standard Time, Monday through Friday. If you don't have a copy of the November Prophetic Observer, we'd like to send you a complimentary copy. For more than one, call for the gift amount. We're also making a classic dealing with UFOs available. It's Dr. I.D.E. Thomas, The Omega Conspiracy. The 194-page book is offered in appreciation of a $20 contribution in the U.S., $22 in Canada. Here's what the National Book Review says about The Omega Conspiracy. Quote, Dr. I.D.E. Thomas was the first to break through the confusion and to offer up extraordinary insights to this age-old mystery, close quotes. That, of course, means the mystery of UFOs. Today's program is also available for an offering of $10 in the U.S., $11 in Canada. To get any or all these valuable resources, call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The website is swrc.com. Stay tuned now for a Bible in the News report over most of these stations. And be here Monday on your Watchman on the Wall program, a production of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for a Bible in the News report, a recent story with a biblical viewpoint, a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. Reporting is Dr. Bob Glaze.
In Genesis 49:10, the rules for future kings of Israel is recorded. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and until him shall the gathering of the people be. Jacob's prophecy did not come to fruition for some 640 years, when God has a sure word of prophecy. Any man that came to the throne by force or as an interloper would not be blessed, in fact, would incur the wrath of God. Those who placed such a person on the throne would also not be blessed. However, the first king of Israel was not the lineage of David or the house of Judah. It was Saul of the lineage of Benjamin. How could this be? Although it was God's will for Israel to have a king, it was to be a king that met God's qualifications according to his word and in his time. However, Israel could not wait for God and did not consult with him or his prophet. Their choice was not vetted against the law of the land, God's word. Israel chose Saul, a person with a dubious background, a descendant of Benjamin, and daughters of other tribes taken by force. He was not God's choice, but Israel's choice. However, God said, "You want a king? Then I'll give you a king, but you won't lack him." And 1 Samuel 8:7 says that the Lord said unto Samuel, "Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." Verses 11 through 17, the Lord tells Israel what the unvetted king will extract from them. He will appoint your sons for his army and create a large government. He will appoint himself czars and government workers. He will take your land and possessions by eminent domain. And he will place your sons and daughters on his payroll, and you will become slaves to the state. Nevertheless, the people refuse to obey the voice of Samuel, and they say, "Nay, but we will have a king over us." They were totally blinded to the truth and refused to hear it. They then chose Saul to rule over them. The question of Barack Hussein Obama being qualified to be the President of the United States has dogged his White House occupation since he took office. Is he qualified to be President based upon the Constitution? It seems that what we all knew has finally been admitted. Obama was never vetted. In an article in WorldNetDaily.com dated November the 9th, 2010, entitled "Congress Report Concedes Obama Eligibility Not Vetted," the issue is finally addressed. According to the report, a congressional document posted on the Internet confirms no one, not Congress, not the states, and not election officials, bothered to check Barack Obama's eligibility to be president, and that status remains undocumented to this day. It's because state and federal law did not require anyone in Congress or elsewhere to check to see if Obama was a natural-born citizen under the meaning of Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution, according to the document. The article adds that the Congressional Research Service admits no one in the federal government, including Congress, ever asked to see Obama's long-form birth certificate. This begs the question, did this service's failure to reveal something so vital to the security of the United States commit a crime themselves? Our country is reaping the same problems for not following the Constitution as Israel did for not following God's word. The only answer to returning to God's grace is to rise up and throw off the unqualified and install God's chosen man.
That's today's Bible in the News report. Join us for your next Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News report.